Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started.
Hey friends, it's Nikayla here, back with another episode. Today I have Unique Jones Gibson, a self-described cultural architect, brand builder, and social activist whose revolutionary campaigns have created global movements. In 2013, she launched Because of Them, We Can, an award-winning campaign which has now evolved into a worldwide media platform for Black excellence. She's also the creator of the hit game Culture Tags, which many of you might be familiar with. And that game encapsulates the nostalgia of the Black experience and Black culture. Unique serves as the CEO and Chief Creative Officer of the innovative agency Culture Brands, as well as CEO of the Happy Hues Company, an inclusive baby essentials company focused on nurturing happy and healthy babies. Collectively, Unique's portfolio highlights her commitment to representation and the celebration of culture and community. Unique demonstrates how you can approach your multi-passions one business at a time. Let's get right into it. Welcome, welcome, Unique, to the guest chair of Side Hustle Pro.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Listen, I have followed you from before I knew I was going to start a podcast. From before, I think back in the days when I was still using Google Reader, you know, like Wow. It has been a while. And to, like I was saying in the pre-show, just to see your evolution has been really inspiring. And I mean, you are the epitome of just bringing multi-passions to life and thriving and not having to just choose one thing, but doing one thing at a time and getting it good before starting that next thing. So tell us a little bit about this background that led to this dynamic entrepreneur that you are today. What was your original career path that you were following?
Yeah, I came out of Bowie State University, which is an HBCU in Maryland, as a communications major and went straight to New York working for Microsoft. So I have a marketing background, particularly okay. in the online space. So I graduated at a time when the online advertising industry really started to boom. And so it was just a great time, but I definitely come from a marketing background.
That makes sense. I didn't know that. How long were you at Microsoft?
For a few years. And I was in the online space for a while. So I started off at Microsoft. I worked at AOL, worked for a company called Custom Ink. So definitely cut my teeth, really learned a lot at Microsoft between New York and Seattle, and then just really got my feet wet and really submerged in the industry for the first few years out of college and just grew it from there.
So when did you start side hustling and dabbling in your creative pursuits on the side?
Yeah, so side hustling for me started while I was at Microsoft in New York. I was a good performer in terms of my work skill and ability, and I got some points and was able to use them to purchase something from a catalog, and I purchased a camera. And I started using that camera on the weekends to teach myself photography. So side hustling for me really started with photography with a Canon and with YouTube and lots of trial and error. That's when I started my entryway into the side hustle universe.
Once you started learning those skills, did you immediately start building what would become the Because of Them We Can platform?
I didn't know I was putting the foundational pieces in place for the Because of Them We Can platform. But yes, when I got my camera and I taught myself how to use it, I started to take pictures of families and kids and really life cycles and started to make really good money doing that. And what happened for me is in the midst of all of that, we started to have a lot of instances of just discrimination and racial unrest. And we had the murder of Trayvon Martin. And at that time, I really understood how my camera could serve as a microphone. Being a person who's grown up to be outspoken, I started to use my art as a voice. And that was really how I started to put the pieces in place to understand how I could leverage my marketing background, my passion for social justice, and this new skill set that I had developed to really create my own marketing campaigns, but marketing Black excellence, Black pride, Black joy, and just all the positive things that were happening in our community, but also using it to push back against the system with the I Am Trayvon Martin campaign. And so those were the building blocks. Launched the I Am Trayvon Martin campaign, and then a year later, I launched the Because of Them We Can campaign, which has, of course, evolved into the Because of Them We Can platform.
Yes. I remember when you started the Because of Them We Can campaign. Can you talk a little bit about what the early days of that looked like, what the first manifestation was?
Yeah, for sure. It was February 2013. So about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, we were approaching the 1 year anniversary of Trayvon Martin's murder. And I was just looking at how at that time, if you could think back, there wasn't a lot of effort put into Black history campaigns from a marketing perspective. Actually, what was happening was a lot of jokes and a lot of memes, although they didn't have a name at that time. And I was kind of frustrated being a mother of two Black boys and paying attention to what was happening in the country. I really saw it as an opportunity for me to use Black History Month to reimagine Black history and to get people excited about it, but to also refresh it with a new lens. And so the first iteration of the Because of Them We Can campaign was me going back to the people that I had worked with in my photography business who had children and saying, hey, funny enough, I think your daughter looks like Rosa Parks. Can I take a picture of her? Or, and I think your son looks like Frederick Douglass. And just it so happened that these people trusted me. And this crazy idea that I had, and I used my own son who posed as Muhammad Ali, and I took 28 pictures featuring young people from the ages of 18 months to 5, 6, and 7 years old. And every day in the month of February in 2013, I released a picture a day alongside a quote or a caption or something that this person was known for saying or something that really captured their life's essence or message. And it went viral. And that was really the beginning of the Because of Them We Can campaign. I just decided to keep it going because so many people were excited by this refresh of or this new take on Black history.
And I assume you didn't quit your job right away, right? This was just like a fun side hustle, something you were passionate about.
By the end of that month, I had quit my job.
Okay, but, when you quit your job, what was the vision of how you were going to survive now with this platform?
So it's interesting. Prior to launching the Because of Them We Can campaign, I was already putting pieces in place and had already started to put out and speak my vision of being able to work for myself when I was talking to my husband. So I was already talking about that. I was looking at photography as, yes, a way to communicate, but it was also for me a means to an end. And so we had already started having those conversations. But when I launched the Because of Them We Can campaign and I was talking to Tom Joyner and he was like, you can't stop, you can't drop the mic. And so many people were purchasing calendars and posters because I had also monetized it just because of demand. It wasn't the goal going into it. But I realized at the end of that month, if I'm going to actually keep this going and be able to do it at a level of excellence or at the standard that at least I felt it deserved, I knew I wouldn't be able to have a full-time job and also take on this large task because it was consuming. And so at the end of that month, I actually rendered my resignation, But the great thing about it is my supervisor at the time recognized the value that I brought to the organization. And she was like, you know, I think you're great. I think what you're doing is amazing. How about you consult remote while you're building this up and while we're looking for your replacement? And so I resigned in February. And I think it was by the end of August, I had fully transitioned out. But I got to go a few additional months just working remotely at a time when you really didn't hear people talking about remote businesses.
Yes, that's so do excellent work, you guys. That is so clutch, like to be able to do such good work that people are like, wait, but can you stay on for a bit more and we'll pay you to consult? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Had you started any businesses before this? Because you're very casual about, oh, you know, I left my job. I was like, I just need to give this the full effort it needs.
Yeah, I had, you know, I think for me, it came from growing up around entrepreneurs too. So my grandparents on my paternal grandparents were pastors, and they had a thriving church in D.C. that I was attending as a child. And my grandmother had a private school, Sunshine Christian Academy, that a number of people in the Washington, D.C. area attended. So it was my grandmother's school, and my aunts and my uncles were administrators and teachers and bus drivers and, you know, so I grew up around entrepreneurship. And on my mother's side, my grandmother owned apartment buildings, and she owned a bar. And I spent time with her counting out registers and tills. And so it was always something that I was around. And so when I was younger, it would just came natural to have a video game, have a Sega Genesis game, and be done with it and go and sell it to my neighbor. Or in high school to realize I could buy a bag of candy for, you know, $7 and sell the lollipops for a quarter or 50 cents and make $20 off a bag. And so, yeah, I was very entrepreneurial, never had an official LLC prior to having my photography business, but I already had that entrepreneurial spirit based on the examples that had been set for me and just the ambition that my parents helped cultivate in me as a child.
I just love that. I think having that exposure is so unique, you know, no pun intended, but what a blessing on both sides to see that and to know that, you know, there's so many people who are in business for themselves and entrepreneurship looks like all these different things.
Absolutely.
So, okay, you leave, you start doing Because of Them We Can full time. Mm-hmm. What was your business plan for the business at that point?
It was one of those things where we were really building a plane as we were flying it, or not even flying it, right? We were really going off of the momentum and that wind from people just being excited about all of the great content that we were putting into the universe. At the time, the business model was really, it was product-based. You know, we had all this content, all these images. I had a book. And so the book was very successful. We sold, you know, tens of thousands of copies of the books that I self-published. Wow. And so that was a huge piece of it. And then we got to see how we could take that book into schools and into communities and help little people, or help young people rather, reimagine themselves by helping them to dress up as the individuals that we had taken pictures of over the last few months. And so it ended up being a product-based business with apparel and calendars and posters. And then the book had really great margins because I had taught myself how to produce offshore. And so we were manufacturing products in China. So I had these amazing margins. And I just learned how to do that from burning the midnight oil, staying up really late on Google, on Alibaba, you know, just figuring it out, talking to people, presenting myself to be a man. So that the people wouldn't try to take advantage of me.
Wait, did you just say presenting myself to be a man?
Yes. When I would talk to manufacturers in China, they automatically assumed that I was a sir. And I didn't do anything to change their mind because that was the default. And I didn't know if it would work to my advantage or not. And so I just, you know, kept that hat on as I was negotiating and talking and working out samples and really just trying to fake it until I made it and really understood what I was doing, but had really amazing margins. And then started to attract brands and organizations who saw the opportunity to align with me to create culturally relevant content and to help them with their multicultural efforts, which was really challenging because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing anything exploitative when it came to these legacies and when it came to the individuals that we were uplifting, your Martin Luther Kings, your Muhammad Ali's, your Rosa Parks. And so it was a very slow walk to that model. But we were able to get a couple of really amazing partners whom we felt really believed and walked the walk of what we're trying to promote through Because Then We Can. And it just grew from there. And I just learned how to earn money, grow money, but then reinvest that money back into the business and back into different ideas and products and things that we thought had staying power.
Did you think you would do that for the rest of your life, or were you already starting to think of other ideas?
Because Then We Can was supposed to be a 28-day campaign. So the immediate answer is no. I was really successful in the corporate space, successful, doing really well, and had found my voice and was hitting my stride. And so when I initially launched it, it was only supposed to be 28 days. And when I originally quit my job, it was only going to be for a year. I was like, I'm going to quit for a year, do this, and then I'm going to, you know, figure out what I want to do. So no, it was the plan was never to be doing this forever. But even though the work was a lot and it was very stressful due to a number of different dynamics, what I realized is this was purpose work, and that it was work that was much bigger than me. And I couldn't say that about my previous jobs, that it was bigger than me. It was just, you know, punching the clock and doing the task. But when I started to see the young people that we were impacting, and I started to hear the stories from teachers and community members and parents, and even starting to notice things in my own children when it came to their knowledge base or their self-esteem, I realized it was an opportunity to shift, but not in a way where I could really anticipate or imagine what that shift would look like, or how 10 years later, you know, people, so many people would come up to me and say, you know, I have this business that's in Target or here, and I just want to let you know I started this line of dolls, or I started this after I saw Because Then We Can, because it spoke to me. Wow. So I never could have imagined any of that. But I think that's just how things work. You go in a direction of your fears.
At what stage did you start building the blocks for the Culture Tags brand?
Yeah, I think, you know what's funny? A lot of people don't know this, but I actually started, you know, sometimes you just got to kind of go back and look back over some of the things you used to do in the past. Way back in the day, I had a site called WTDTA.
Really? What's that mean?
Where they do that at? Yep, it was a user.
First of all, I would lose Culture Tags. I would lose so bad. Yes. I don't know how people guess in these.
How? But I had a site called WTDTA.com, and it was a user generated site. And that was my first call. That was my first actual website that I had built, working with contractors offshore through a site called Elance at the time. But so when you talk about building blocks, you know, like there are hints all throughout your life where if you look back, it's actually it didn't start in 2019. It actually started back in 2010, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, Culture Tags is based on my lived experience, right? I mean, it is what it is. But when it comes to the actual idea for the game, I want to say that that happened in like 2019. But it was a natural progression, because what I've been able to identify, whatever I create, or whether it's a new brand, whether it's a new product, for me, the consistent thread is culture and community. And so it's always going to have that as the thread. Does it celebrate culture? Does it celebrate community? Does it invite people in? And Because Then We Can absolutely does that. And Culture Tags absolutely does that. And for people who know me, in high school, I was class president, but I was also class comedian. And what Culture Tags has allowed me is the opportunity to really infuse my personality outside of the buttoned up blazer and, you know, the polished piece, which is an aspect of who I am, but there's so much more to me. But what happens when we get in the social media space and we're building businesses, people determine who we are, and we might be like that, but sometimes we have to play that role and we have to stay in that frame. And Culture Tags gave me the opportunity to expand and to show more of my personality. And so I would say 2019.
there's so much more to each of us. Like, yes, I like, you know, entrepreneurship content, but I also, I want to laugh. I want to share different things. So
exactly.
That makes sense. And you define yourself as a cultural architect and a brand builder. And I think that is so on point, right on the money. Like, that's what you're doing. Basically, you are designing intentionally these experiences that your customers are having. So what was the difference between starting a product-based business versus a media company?
Yeah, for me, it was a natural segue. So when I launched Because of the Weekend, like I said, it was, we were really surviving off product sales, which were doing really well. And then we started to get sponsorship from brands. And then brands started to reach out to me to do certain things, like they reach out to influencers now. But what I realized is that I was getting a certain bag based on the fact that they just thought I was an influencer. And what I knew is I have a marketing background and I know how this engine works. And so what I understood was that while, yes, Because When We Can was able to bootstrap and raise money based off of product sales, the sponsorship dollars were also just very, very lucrative. And I knew that in order for brands and organizations to really approach me with the seriousness that I deserve, I needed to put the infrastructure in place to support that type of business model. And so
yes.
It was very, when you run a product-based business, it could really be, obviously you're at the mercy of your vendors or your manufacturers, but it could really, you could really have the attitude of like, I'm gonna get this done. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna knock it out. When you go into a service-based business, that's still a reality, but it's really about your team, because you can't be all things to all people. You know, you have to have an account manager. You have to have somebody in finance. You have to have, you know, somebody who's doing the unsexy administrative stuff. You really cannot do everything. And so for me, it really helped me to hone in on the importance of village and the importance of having a really solid team of players who could be iron to me to help me not only to establish the company, but to grow, scale, and sustain it.
How did you find those people? Did it start with close friends and family, or were you going on to job sites to find absolute strangers?
Absolutely started with friends and family. And listen, most of the friends and family that it started with, I'm not, you know, they're cool. I see them, you know, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Godspeed. Yeah. God bless you. But, you know, a lot of those were seasonal appointments or opportunities or just really what I needed in that moment. But when it came time to really grow and scale and to do the things that required the skill set in order to be able to demand the dollars or the recognition that we wanted, had to kind of dig a little bit deeper. But I've been fortunate. You know, I have people working for me who've been with me since 2015. I have somebody who's working with me. He's my managing director. I actually hired him fresh out of school back in 2010. I was able to rehire him when I launched my own business. And a lot of the other people have come either by referral. Some of them have come through job messaging boards or sites, but a lot of the people who rock with me or whom are within the company have come from somebody knowing somebody who's known somebody and been able to really vet the individual that way. But I also have somebody, one of my best employees, I call her Your Grace. She'll know who I'm talking about. She slid in my DMs a couple years ago.
Really?
Slid in my DMs on Twitter and was like, I just want to send you my resume. I don't know if you have an internship available, but I would love to work with you. And I was really busy at the time. So I was like, cool, just email me your resume. I'm really responsive when people DM me. I just believe in just not being inaccessible. And so I was like, send me your resume. And like, I was busy, right? So I didn't say when I would get back. I just couldn't get back. And she was very tactful in her follow-up. Like, it wasn't annoying. It wasn't entitled. It wasn't like an entitlement type of energy, which I get a lot. Yeah. It was like, I know you're busy. Just tell me when you think I should follow back up, because I don't want to hound you. And I was like, dang, like, call me
That's
now.
Good.
Call me right now. And
what?
she called me. And when I talked to her, I was like, nah, she reminds me of me at this age. Mm. And then I called somebody on my team and was like, look at her resume. And she had worked with attorneys. And I was like, nah, she's working with attorneys. And I was like, well, she's working public relations and marketing. And I remember when I was getting ready to make her offer and she gave me her number, I was like, nah, like I went above that number by at least like 30%. And I was like, we're not going to do that number. We're going to do this number. We're going to do benefits. We're going to do this. And, you know, it's been great. Like she's been an amazing addition to the team, but she slid in my DMs. And while that doesn't work for everyone, there was just something about her tactfulness and her ability to get through to me that let me know she would be super valuable internally if she needed to get through to a client or just that level of, you know, maturity. It jumped out to me. So yeah, people have come from all over. So there isn't a one size fits all type of way that I've recruited, but a lot of people have come from, you know, being able to be vetted through my village, or people who know folks.
You're saying so much. I just have so many questions percolating in my head. I mean, first of all, you touched on, we were starting to talk about the building of Culture Tags. And then you touched on raising money for Because of Them We Can. And usually when people think of raising money, they're thinking in the sense of, you know, venture capital money, raising for this huge scalable business. So can you talk about your experience and what you meant when you said that?
Oh, I said bootstrap. Yeah, I did not do a raise for Because Then We Can.
Okay.
I didn't do a raise for Culture Brand. So let me back up a little bit. When I went from the Because Then We Can model to Culture Brands, which gave me the agency model with our own owned and operated properties, all of that has been bootstrap. Culture Tags, we did a Kickstarter, which was funded within the first few hours. And so that was really my only raise. And we had the funds to fund Culture Tags, but I really felt like Culture Tags was for the culture and the culture should be included in that win. And so that's why we did that raise. Now, fast forward from Because of We Can to Culture Tags now to my new company, Happy Hughes. I did do a raise for Happy Hughes. I did a, what you call it, a SPV, so a special purpose vehicle with a family and friends raise there. But for Because of We Can and Culture Brands, I bootstrapped by reinvesting the money back into the business.
Ooh, tell us more about this SPV. Why did you decide to go that route? And, you know, what does that entail?
Yeah. So in 2019, when I had the idea for Culture Tags, I also had the idea for what would become Happy Hughes. And the reason I decided to pursue Culture Tags was because I knew Culture Tags was a paper product. And I have produced books, calendars. I was like, I know how to do this. I know how much money it's going to cost. I got that right now. It's no liability. Like, we can get it done. With Happy Hughes, I was like, we're talking about babies and toddlers and sensitive skin and, you know, all sorts of things. And the only diaper I had produced was the ones I pulled out of pack to put on my children. And so I knew I was going to have to do tons of research, knew I was going to need money for that R&D, money for attorneys. And I was like, I don't have it right now. And so the goal was, we're going to launch Culture Tags. I think it's going to be successful. I have a feeling it's going to be good. And I have a feeling it's going to be a game show. And then I'm going to take that money and I'm going to use that to launch Happy Hughes. And essentially, that's what we did. But in doing so, also realized this idea is so massive and so big. And it's one of those opportunities where I see the full story with the opening of the book. Whereas with Because of Them We Can, I told you I was figuring it out as I was going along with it. It's only now that we have the solid plan, right? Or with Culture Tags, it was like, this is a game, it's going to be a game show, but that's it, right? With Happy Hughes, it was like, this is going to be massive. Like, this is a $1 billion idea, and it's way bigger than me, way bigger than my pockets, and we can go further, faster with more people involved. And so I wanted to do a family and friends raise because I've had all these people in my life the last 10 plus years who have supported me and been my cheerleader. Or you even say, you know, I followed you since the beginning. And I wanted to give people an opportunity to say, like, don't just support me and share my content, or don't just like tell me you're proud of me as a friend. Like, win with me. Like, let's win together. And so I was able to do a SPV raise, which is a special purpose vehicle. It's like an LLC. It's a disregarded entity. We work with a site called Carta. And I basically made the minimum $5,000, where I said to my family and friends, like, I didn't want it to have to be an accredited investor, because my parents aren't accredited investors, whereas some of my friends might be, right? So I wanted everybody to be able to participate, and I only wanted one entity on my cap table, because I know in the future I'll do additional raises. And I didn't want to say, okay, I've got 60 friends or I've got 50 friends who are going to put in at least minimum 5K. I didn't want to have those 50 or 60 individuals on my cap table, because to at the next raise, or when I actually do an official raise, that can be a little off-putting. And so we formed the SPV, and there are people like my parents and my sister and people I've grown up with, but there are also people like Pinky Cole from Slutty Vegan, mm-hmm. or Olivia Jai Jones, or Arsha Jones from Capital City Mumbo Sauce, or my girl Keisha.
Go Arsha. I love Arsha.
Arsha's amazing. Or my girl Keisha, who's chief people person at Tory Burch. Like, there are just so many people who are amazing from all different walks of life. And I knew I could tap into their networks and their knowledge base by having them be equally invested in the success of the Happy Use company, beyond being proud of me for acting on another vision or another purpose-driven work that I felt I needed to do.
Yes. And I'm so glad you broke that down, because one of the things that is so impressive to me is you used each business. You were able to, you know, take the money that you were making and reinvest it into bringing forth these new visions to life. And a lot of times in our community, we talk about that, the funds, right? The raising capital, the how are we going to invest in this? Yes, there are some things that are going to be beyond our own pockets, but that you were able to say, okay, I know what that's going to cost for this. And I got that in my account.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
It's important. Like, I mean, and there were years where, like, man, I rocked the same blazer over and over again, right? Like, mm-hmm. there were years where my peers were like, yo, I just bought a new car. And I was like, that's nice. You know, like, I couldn't participate in that. I couldn't participate in that personally. I could be happy for them, but I couldn't replicate that on my side, because I had to put the money back into the business. I mean, it wasn't until the year that I launched Culture Tags that I finally went on payroll. Like, everybody on my team, you know, was on payroll and getting paid. I was doing draws from the business. You know, I had a certain amount that I knew I needed, and I would just take a draw. And then I was able to, with Culture Tags and the success there and some other things that had just started really working in my favor from years of just doing the work, I was like, okay, and I could have went on payroll before then, just to be clear. I was just so scared, right? Like, I was just like, I'm just so nervous. I'll take care of me last. Right. Yeah. And but yeah, just putting the money back in the business and really just making that sacrifice and really helped me to reinvest. And so with each business, from Because When We Can to Culture Tags, being able to get Culture Tags done, that was at the beginning of the pandemic when Target said, yes, I needed hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to, you know, get the inventory. And I had it, you know, I was able to get it without borrowing money. And then with Happy Hues, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars to even, you know, do all the research, do the production run. And again, just taking from one business and being able to be disciplined enough to be able to say, like, okay, here's how we're going to make this work. But then obviously with Happy Hues also knowing, okay, you got it to this point, but to go from this point to that point, you're going to need a little bit more gas in your tank.
And just to be clear, before we get into a little bit more about Culture Tags and Happy Hues, so the revenue model for Because of Them We Can, it shifted to more of a media platform, right? So you were no longer doing products for it, or were you still doing products for it?
Yeah, we're still doing products, and we still do products. I mean, I literally had a Black History box for kids that ran from 2018. This is our last year because we're moving to like a virtual model with it. But yeah, we've done products, backpacks. I feel like if you're from the DMV, you might hear t-shirts, sweatshirts, footwear, and boots. Like, we were doing everything. Like, I mean, there was no limit to the type of products that we produce. And we still produce products, but just at a different cadence. And so products is definitely a very significant piece of our revenue model, as is media. So from banner ads and things like that, or media buys from brands. And also like branded content, we just really moved more into the direction of the experience that I came out of college with. and was able to kind of manage firsthand when it comes to how we look at internally, we call it BotWick. But yeah, it's a media platform. It's been described as a global megaphone for Black excellence.
So now when you launched Culture Tax, how did you know that it was going to not just be something that people support and retweet and repost on social media, but actually physically buy and want to play?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Yeah, I just knew it. So when I was like, all right, I'm going to do this, I was online one day and I saw this long acronym and there were hundreds of comments, like hundreds.
Yeah.
Where everyone was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with us? Why do we know what this says? And my prayer to God is like, Lord, let me see it and act on it, like before it's obvious. And when I looked at it, I was like, this is a game. And just like, I just knew it. And I started testing it out. That's how I knew. I started testing it out with my family, with people I didn't know. I would like write on my notes app, I would like write a culture tag and put it up to somebody and I would describe it. And then I would like have a crowd at some point at a family member's house or even my house. New Year's Eve 2019, we have a big party every New Year's Eve. And I had like 400 culture tags. And I was like, I'm gonna test this game out and we're gonna see what happens. And listen, if the folks here say it's good, because that's all we did at these gatherings, we play games. And normally it'd be like spades, bitwist, you know, the normal roundup. I was like, let's try to introduce this. And at that night, it was a hit. But when I really knew it was a hit, whether people knew it came from me or not, was I think doing karaoke. And I looked to my left and there was like this just uproar of laughter and screaming in my kitchen. And I was like, what are they doing? Because we played the game like an hour ago. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They were playing the game. They were literally like playing the game. They were playing it. And I was not involved in it. For me, it was like, this is it. It's going to be successful.
Yes.
Because it doesn't require me to say buy this. Like once you see it, you get it. And I didn't want to have to be the face of culture tags, right? Because I'm Ken for a long time, I was the face. I was like, hey, I'm the founder. Because, like, that's draining and that's very limiting. And so I did not want to have to be the face of culture tags. And at the end of that night, a friend of mine was like, can I borrow these? And I was like, borrow what? Like some hot sauce? Like, you want to borrow what? And she was like, I want to borrow these cards. And I was like, these cards? And she was like, yeah, I'm having a party tomorrow and I want to play it. And I was like, okay. And then like the next day or the day after her event, she was like, it was a hit. And she like gave me like all this feedback and was like, the font is too small, or, you know, do this and do that. And, you know, this is what some people said on this side. But I knew it was a hit because it had started to travel and people were like, can I buy it? Like, when can I buy it from you? And I was like, give me a second. And by the next month, I had the Kickstarter up and going.
I love this story. And I love the fact that you tested it. Like, you know, it went beyond testing it on social. It was like physically seeing people engage and reacting to that game. I love it. And the not being the face thing is huge, right?
Oh my gosh.
There's actually been a little bit of the debate recently this week, right? About how draining it can be to start a business, promote it on social media, and be the face. But I think what your experience shows is what I believe is the value of social media. Like, it is so powerful that you can build something which allows you to make money and to get into a certain space financially to then create other things where you don't have to be the face. Okay.
Absolutely.
You can transition. Like, life is not just one thing. So, you know, what has been your experience with launching it now, being in Target and all these other things, and like seeing it kind of live in its own sphere without you as the face?
No, it's been amazing. You know, I appreciate it. I also appreciate a lot of people know that I'm behind it, which is interesting too. You know, I was laughing because there were some videos that went viral with these brothers that are really dope out of Morehouse doing these things called Blackronyms. And I was looking because there were so many comments like, a black woman made this. It's culture tag. Y'all might as well play culture tag. It's a black woman. Like, I mean, hundreds of comments on Shade Room.
I love when people do that.
And yes. I was like, oh, this is funny.
Support.
Yeah. But I'm like, so for me, it feels good to know that folks know that a black woman's behind it, whether they know it's me or not is irrelevant. But it feels good too to know that, like, I don't have to be the spokesperson. I mean, that's just so draining. If I need, like, I do think that if I need to do a video, I will absolutely do it. But it has been a little liberating to see it exist in other areas and to see it be able to thrive without me saying, you know, click buy now, or to see it evolving into other areas that I said 3 years ago that it would evolve into, which is that game show space. You know, I can't talk too much about, but knowing
tell you about the game show.
I'll tell you, like, I won't be the host. You know, and that's exciting for me to not have to be so tied to it and to see it take on a life of its own. Because Culture Tags is built on the fact that it's communication. It's another way to communicate. And it existed before I created the game. I just gave it a name. I put some shape and some form around to it and gamified it. But it already existed because black folks are just so freaking funny, and we are so innovative, and we are hilarious. And that has been my lived experience.
So creative.
And we're so creative. You know, I just came in and said, it's culture tags, and we can actually buy it in a packaged form. But whether I did that or not, it would still exist just without a name. And so, it's been really exciting to see that happen and to take on a life of its own.
That game show thing, I'm so impressed by that. I didn't know about that. Is that something you pitched to a network, or someone came to you?
I don't think I can talk too much about it, but I'll say that we'll have to have a follow up. But I mean, when you know, you do have to pitch to networks, and you know, all of that was definitely a part of the mix. But I'm really excited, hopefully, you know, sooner than later to be able to tell you more about it and to be able to come back and share. But when I first launched the game and checked my Twitter, I said, I'm working on something and I think it has game show potential. And I've been one thing about me, and I think in general, not just me, but people in general should recognize, and I'm sure you recognize and a lot of your listeners do, is, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it's not lying. If I say I'm launching this and it's going to be a game show, then I really do believe that God and all things in the universe are going to conspire with me, because I'm going to bust my tail to make that happen. If I say Happy Hughes is going to be on shelves in retail and it's going to be a $1 billion company. It's going to happen because I'm going to bust my tail. God and the universe are going to work on my behalf to make it so, and because it's bigger than me. Culture Tags going in stores and blowing way past expectations for that game at that time opened up so many doors for other Black creators in the game space to be on shelves at Target. When I went to Target, it was Black Card Revoke and it was Culture Tags. Go there now. There are so many other Black-owned games, and I know that Culture Tags help part those waters because we killed it when it came to our numbers. And so it doesn't just benefit me to be successful. It doesn't just benefit me to say something's going to happen and for it to come to fruition. You have to hold the door open and you have to know that the work that you do is going to make the work of somebody else possible. And so you got to start saying things, not just keeping it in your head, but taking that risk to tweet it, to talk about it, and then to also do the work. Right. And then to get to the point where the work speaks for itself and you can look up and say, well, wow, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I said I was going to launch Culture Tags and it was going to fund Happy Hues. And damn, look at us. Like, it's exactly what's happening. And so, yeah, I just am a firm believer in speaking life into my dreams, my hopes, my aspirations. And I try not to say anything detrimental or that could be perceived as negative.
Or when deprecating.
It comes to my, when it comes to myself or even other people, because words have power.
I was just so impressed when you came out with Culture Tags. I was like, boom, this is it. So when I saw you launching Happy Hues, I'm like, wait a minute, this is another business. I was like, where does she get the bandwidth for this? And I just also thought about, you know, a lot of times when I talk to people on this show, the effort it takes to get into retail, get into Target, to keep fulfilling, manage that order load. It sounds like so much that I couldn't believe that you are doing this plus also taking this on for another CPG product. So tell me a little bit about your experience with this and how you manage that whole bandwidth and process.
Yeah. So what you just said was actually one of the voices in my head that I had to fight. You know, oh, people are going to be like, oh, here we go again. There's something else. I had to fight my willingness to care about that. And I had to say to myself that the box that other people create for me is not mine to maintain. And for me,
say that again.
For me, I had to say, what is my grading system when it comes to my ideas, my visions, and my dreams? I have visions and dreams all the time. I have ideas all the time. I give ideas away because I'm like, yo, it would be dope if somebody did X, Y, and Z. I don't have the interest or the bandwidth, but you should do it. Free ideas all day. All day I do stuff like that.
I give ideas away. I do love that.
Because I know I can't do it. But with Happy Hues, when I look at my grading system or my rule book for what I will pursue, one, I couldn't shake it. Every time I tried to pivot, every time I tried to forget about it and say, well, no, I'm making good money over here. Or no, well, this is happening. Or, you know, my agency, I have amazing clients. Oh, we won the Hyundai business. Like, there's so many different reasons why I could be like, I'm not going to pursue this. But it did not matter. It kept coming back to the surface. And what I looked at is, you know, does it celebrate culture? Does it celebrate community? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was also, why do we need a Because When We Can? Why did we need a Black Girls Code or Black Girls Rock or, you know, NAACP? Obviously, there are a number of reasons why we need those organizations. But when you look at systems and how systems are developed and created, I started to look at the fact that, man, as a child, I had no character that looked like me when it came to dressing myself in the first garment I put on. It was always Strawberry Shortcake, Little Mermaid, and it wasn't our Ariel now, or Ariel, right? It wasn't her. And then I started asking my mother, and it all came from me going to put training pants on my daughter and seeing Cinderella and saying, like, all right, there's got to be something else tonight because I just I'm not doing Cinderella tonight. And then I realized there were no other options. And Princess Tiana was only a limited edition or wasn't available in mass. And that's wrong, because then it teaches that there is, you know, one over the other. Like, this is the image that we should all accept and normalize. Yeah. And then the others, you know, we'll deal with them when we see them. That's wrong. And so I say, you know, I don't want to do a diaper or training pants company that is for Black kids only, because we have a very multicultural and diverse world, especially knowing that one out of every two babies born in the United States is a baby of color. And Latino and Latina babies and Asian babies and, you know, all different races outside of just white and Caucasian children right. experience this where they don't see themselves. And yes. I wanted to create something that felt like community amongst the babies, community mm-hmm. amongst the toddlers, so that they could grow up normalizing these unique differences and appreciating them. While we try to develop the sense of pride and joy and happiness during a time that is the most influential time of their lives, 0 to 5 years old. And so for me, it was really a simple yes when I figured out that there was a consistent thread there and that this was just attacking the problem a little earlier on. And when it came to actually executing it, I think my ability to do it comes from having great teams in place. So mm-hmm. you said something in the beginning about you start one thing, you get into a great space, then you move on to the next. I can't do everything at the same time. It's impossible. You won't do it well. And so I've been able to figure out, like, what do I need in team? What do I need in project managers or human resources in general to be able to move these ideas forward without me physically having to do it on my own? And that is what has given me the ability to expand and to stretch out, is because there is a solid team under Because When We Can. There is a solid team working on culture tags. There's a solid team working on the agency side of my business. And there's a solid team for Happy Hues. And there are a lot of efficiencies that we get too, right? Being able to overlap some things and being we don't have a huge team. You know, I'm not a 100-person company, but we've been able to be super efficient when it comes to how we do things. And I think the work doesn't change. Once you learn how the system works, it becomes easier to replicate that success, or to at least know the formula necessary to reach success. And so Happy Hues is a huge challenge, because people might look at it and say, well, you're taking on legacy brands. And really, I'm not taking on anyone. You know, I'm looking to be there with them, right? And obviously, yes. I want to be able to peel away market share, but people deserve an alternative. And I can appreciate the fact that I use a certain brand for my children, but I can also appreciate the fact that we live in a world that's constantly changing and evolving. And there should be a Black-owned diaper and training pants company on shelves and retail that speak to all of us and not the wealthy part of us, right? Not people who have celebrity or just access to endless amounts of money. Like, let's take a mom that has three kids and got it out the mud and is working with the community to actually present a very solid and well-received product, well-reviewed product. And let's see what happens when we decide that that one too deserves to be a winner. It just came from, you know, knowing the formula, and the formula doesn't change. Knowing it just helps you to figure out, like, who you need to put in place and, you know, what you're working towards.
And how long was it from research and development to actually being produced?
So R&D for Happy Hues started early on in 2019. And we launched Happy Hues. It started around October of 2019, because that's actually my son's birthday was when I pulled the trainer pants out the pack and sent it to my husband. So October 2019 to February 2023. So it took some time. It took some years to get it to a good space, and took a lot of that was sampling. Sampling and working with different factories. And even though I didn't publicly do any testing, I tested. I gave samples to moms that I knew. I gave samples to daycare centers And ask, like, can you let me know what you think?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about this product? What do you think about these designs? Do these speak to you? I did surveys before I ever produced a product, before I ever requested a sample. I had at least 50 mothers answer a questionnaire, an anonymous questionnaire. And so a lot of it was resource and information gathering. But yeah, it took a little over 3 years to go from research and to actual execution.
So what's it been like since releasing and launching and stepping into this world?
It's been exciting. It's been really exciting. It's been very humbling too, because you just never know how people are going to react. I knew that in order to make a splash, if you will, we had to have a solid name. I don't think we could have done anything better than Big Ups by the Happy Hughes Company. And we had to have a solid product, and we'll continue to iterate and to improve it. But man, out the gate, the response has been amazing. We've gotten people who have said, you know, my child just outgrew diapers and I found out about Big Ups. And so it was no question. And I'm getting, it's very diverse, you know, when it comes to our customer base and the mothers who are purchasing for their children. And it's people who recognize the multicultural world that we live in. And so the reception has been great. I want to go faster. Really pace yourself. I'm ready to make my first real hire. We're ready to start working with the Kind Collective to do our recruiting. So we're ready to hire a salesperson to really have those conversations with grocery stores and wholesalers, distributors, etc., to really help accelerate what we know is an amazing product and put it in front of people. Because I mean, it's when you see it, you know, you're like, wow, I never saw anything like that. And then when you use it, it's comparable, if not better. But it at least meets the bar of the competitors. And then a lot of feedback that we're getting, people are saying it's better. And so it's exciting. It's also tough too, to be honest with you though, because as you know, I'm here, I have more than one business. And so I'm equally excited about each and every one of them for different reasons. But Happy Hughes is definitely one that keeps me up because it's the newest one. It's a baby, and I mean, it's crawling and I'm ready for it to run. Right. But it's also like, once that baby starts running, it's no slowing it down. And so I'm also using this opportunity to just put the important pieces in place to ensure that once it starts running, that we can keep up and we can maintain that growth.
And what's been your experience on the money side? You know, most people are losing money when they first come out the gate with their business. Across all three of your brands, what has been the experience?
Man, I've lost money. I've made money. You know, there were years where I lost more than I made. Man, like, we don't have enough time to talk through lost money, had money taken, you know, broken with the wrong people. I mean, there are so many different lessons that I could drop here, but I'm thankful to be in a space where collectively I'm making more than I'm losing, right? We're on the positive side of things. When it comes to, and whenever you first start a business, you're going to be in the hole, right? So with Happy Hughes, if I put out, you know, $300,000 or more of my own money, it's going to take it's going to take a while to break even with that investment. And so that's to be expected, though, and that should be planned and baked into the plan, right? But I'm thankful that because I have multiple streams, I'm a huge advocate for multiple streams, you know, businesses ebb and flow. You know, they go up, they go down. You know, during the pandemic, there were months with culture tags that I was hitting $500,000 a month in sales off of just my website. You know, and then there are months where maybe I'm doing, you know, 50 or 100. But it ebbs and flows. And if you have, for me, I have a couple different things in the mix that it all balances out in a good way. But I think that if you're going to launch a business or obviously running a business, you know you're going to lose money. The goal is to get it to the point where eventually, you know, that ship turns and you're making more than you're losing. And that's the space that I'm in. And it also comes from having like good finance people around too, to say like, hey,
yeah,
all right, how long are you gonna let this go? You know, like, how many lost leaders do you need? You know, like, you got to have those people in your circle and in your village to be able to, you know, pull you to the side, because at the end of the day, you have to be profitable. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've grown slow, no matter what you've seen. You know, there are other brands, media companies that started around the same time, as because when we can, they're probably making far more money, probably have massive amounts of teams, investors, et cetera. But I've chosen to take a slower path because ownership is very important to me. And being able to create the beat that we march to is important, and peace of mind and sleep and rest is important. What does it matter if you have, you know, endless amounts of money and can't sleep at night? That's not wealth to me. And so, you know, you got to, for me, I've just been comfortable with the pace that I've been going at, and have thankfully got to a point where, you know, I'm making more than I'm losing, and I'm not losing as much now as I used to in the beginning, because I've learned more, and I've learned how to cut losses faster, and I've learned how to move a little bit slower when it comes to pulling the trigger on things that might not be necessary right now. And so that's all come from the experience that each business has afforded me.
And that's just so powerful. That's what it all comes down to. Those lessons that you take from one and apply to the other. So before we wrap up, we're going to do a quick lightning round. You just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
I'm nervous. All right. Let's do it.
Don't be. All right. So number one, what's a resource that comes to mind that has helped you in all of your businesses that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real simple. Google. I'm sorry. You know, people are like, how did you figure out, you know, your manufacturers, or it's like Google. Like, I have spent a lot of time on Google. I spent a lot of time on YouTube. I think sometimes it is that simple. I think we overcomplicate things. And I think that Google, and, you know, now people are talking about ChatGPT and, you know, AI. It depends on, you know, how you want to get your answer. But I would definitely say that those search engines, whether it's an AI backed one or, you know, Google, have helped me tremendously. And continue to help me. So,
number two, who is a non-celebrity, non-famous Black woman entrepreneur who you would want to switch places with for a day, and why?
Dang, this is lightning. Oh man,
just one woman.
probably Carla Harris. Because I mean, she's just Carla Harris or Alexis Herman. Oh, Alexis Herman, but either one of them. But Alexis Herman, you know, first Black woman Secretary of Labor. She's on multiple boards. I just think that she's she just has like I've been around her numerous times. She's just like so smooth, so well respected, and she's one of those operators from behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I think that like people who can operate from behind the scenes and be as successful as she is are people who just know the inner workings of systems. And I would just be, I would love to be her for a day, because I just watch how she adds so much value and so much like light to the rooms that she's in. And I think that she gets, I mean, she's on the board at MGM. I mean, she's on some amazing boards where I feel like it's probably fun to be her at this stage in life too. So probably the honorable, my soror, Alexis Herman.
Okay, number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your days these days?
There are a couple of things, but exercise. I really, over the pandemic, I was just sitting in one spot. So now I'm like, I got to get moving, got to take care of myself. So exercise is one of those non-negotiables. Movement is a non-negotiable. Okay. And my kids, time with my kids is a non-negotiable.
Number four, what is a personal trait about you that has helped you significantly in business?
I do not bring emotions to the table. I think that's really helped me to just weed out my emotions and really focus on the goal has helped me. I think when you can separate your emotions, even though we're emotional creatures, not acting in those moments and taking time and being patient with letting things play out. And that I feel like that's really helped me. And it's one of the things that my team members speak about often in terms of, oh, if that was me, I would have. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, let's thank God it wasn't you.
Exactly.
And also, you can't move like that. And so for me, it's just knowing how to move. It's grace under fire. It's really not bringing my emotions to the table.
And then finally, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss but are worried about stepping away from the steady paycheck?
Man, it's tough because I think that, you know, get you some cushion financially, especially now, right? Like, it's a tough time. It's an interesting time. And I think that as long as I think that's what makes your podcast so smart, man, as long as you can have your side hustle and still have your consistent check, do that. You know, stack that money, save your money, and try to get yourself a lot of cushion where once you finally step away from that 9 to 5, you're in a space where you've given yourself a significant amount of room. And I'm not talking 2-3 months. I'm talking 12, 18 months, 24 months, where, you know, like, if nothing else comes in, my bills are still going to be paid. I'm going to eat, I'm going to sleep well, and I'm going to be good. That's probably the advice I would give. And there are always situations where you can be strategic and you can be patient like that. But to the extent that you can, I would probably say, try to chart out 12, 18, 24 months worth of living expenses while you're running your side hustle. Because if you have your side hustle, you have a 9 to 5, you're making good money, you stack that money, and you want to get to a point where you shift 100% to your side hustle and make it your main hustle, that's cool. But like, be a great manager to yourself, right? Mm. Because you want to set yourself up for success, and a great manager is going to set you up for success. So set yourself up for success where once you make that pivot, you're not in a space where you feel like you've been thrown into the water with weights. You want to feel like you're in the water. You know where you have to go in terms of your swim, but you have everything that you need to tread to get there. And the only thing that's going to give you there is that financial cushioning that you would have been stacking on the side. And you want to give yourself enough room. Think about it. If you were your first hire, how long is it going to take for you to get a win or to get consistent wins to feel like you can feed yourself and be okay and sleep well? Give yourself that much run room and revenue so that you're not stressed out at the end of the day. Because when you have to figure out how to pay yourself, and then, Lord, let's not even get into paying other people, that's a whole different level of stress. You really begin to appreciate the 9 to 5 in that space. And you really begin to think about, damn, I probably shouldn't have been on Twitter all that time while I was at work because I was wasting their money. Maybe they did have a point, because you're not going to waste your money. And when you get to the point where you see how your money can be wasted, you're going to think differently in the reverse. And so I would say, be a good manager to be a good boss to yourself first, you know, and give yourself that room so that you have the cushion to make mistakes, and you have the cushion to learn, and you have the cushion to figure it out beyond just doing it on the side, but doing it full time. And the only thing that's going to give you that cushion is knowing I got 12 months worth of living expenses in the bank. That's 12 months worth of cushion. Or I've got 18 months where I can fumble, trip, pick it up, keep going, fumble, trip, pick it up, keep going, run, and be good, versus I got 2 months. And then you start operating like somebody.
I gotta figure it out.
You know,
you
start being a little irrational, you know, when you have to move like that. And so I would say, give yourself that space so that you can also give yourself the grace that you are going to need to be a full-time entrepreneur. And it becomes harder to give yourself or anybody else grace when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills or how you're going to eat.
That, I mean, mic drop, you said it all right there. I mean, I just, being a good boss to yourself. Yes. Let's end on that note, you guys. It's so, so true. I mean, when you get out there and you weren't a good boss to yourself, it's like, you can only look at yourself like, what, how did I get there? You know, you set yourself up for this, and don't let those nasty coworkers or even a nasty manager have you quitting too soon and have you out here like, oh, that argument got you hot, but now you're out here and you're struggling. So stay focused, get to that goal before you do anything so that you can truly treat your future self well and make sure your future self is not stressed about money. So with that, Unique, where can people connect with you? Because of them, we can culture tags, culture brands as a whole, and Happy Hues, all the things.
Yeah, all the things. Listen, yep. I'm gonna keep it real simple. So I'm Unique JG on Instagram. I'm Unique with an E-U-N-I-Q-U-E on Twitter. And if you go to my Instagram, you'll see all my handles right there, and you'll see the link tree to all my sites: happyhues.com, culturetags.com, becauseofthem.com. It's all there.
All right. So guys, there you have it. An interview with one of my entrepreneur sheroes, the epitome of strategic multi-passion, bringing those visions to life. And I hope you guys learned a lot from this episode. You know where to connect with her. And with that, I will talk to you next week.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-foot Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.